This month, along with many other things, is Colorectal Awareness Month. We have joining us this morning Dr. Gerald Gant. Dr. Gant is the Associate Professor of Surgery Chief, Division of Colon and Rectal Surgery, University of Illinois at Chicago. He practices at UI Health, UIC's academic health system, here to join us to talk about this. Dr. Gant, good morning, and welcome to WVON.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
No, it's good to have you. This is really important for a whole lot of reasons. Talk to us about why colorectal cancer awareness is important to this community.
Absolutely. So colon cancer is the second leading cause of death. Cancer in general is the second leading cause of death in Black men and women. And colon cancer ranks among one of the leading types of cancer that affects the Black community. And awareness is extremely important because we want people to get screened. We know that screening can prevent cancer and save lives. So it's something that we can do a lot about.
When is it that people should start getting screened for colon cancer?
So if you are an average risk individual, so an average risk person is someone with no family history of colon or rectal cancer, then you should start getting screened at the age of 45. Average risk also means that you don't have any symptoms. So if you are younger than 45, but you're noticing you're having severe constipation or blood in your stools or abdominal discomfort or weight loss, then you should see a physician to see if you should get a diagnostic colonoscopy to evaluate those symptoms. But for anyone else with without symptoms and no family history, the age is 45. And unfortunately, most people in that age range, especially 45 to 49, are not getting screened. Only about 20% of people are getting screened in that age group.
Now, why do you think that is, Doc?
Well, I think it's several things. You know, the changes, also for African Americans, the age of 45 has been in place for a while. For the general population, the age was previously 50. But starting around 2017, 2018, many organizations changed the recommendation to age 45. And that was done in response to a growing trend in seeing colon cancer diagnosed in younger people. And I think that, there are many ways to get screened. The gold standard is a colonoscopy, which is obviously an invasive procedure. I think there's still some stigma around getting a colonoscopy. But there are other methods for screening, including stool tests for average risk individuals. And the important thing is to go ahead and get screened, again, because it can potentially prevent colon cancer.
Now, I'm looking at this statistic that says colorectal cancer is the second most common cause of cancer death in men and women combined.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's very true. So, okay.
No, go on, please.
No, you had a question. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, that's a really big statement, a really big stat. What can be done that gets more people in getting screened? Is it the issue of just the inequity of health care? Are people not going to the doctor? Are annual checkups not happening? Is this just not one that's been focused on to this point? Or why would this be the second most common cause of cancer death?
Right. So, like you said, it is a major burden for all Americans. And it's a little bit of a shame because it can be prevented and successfully treated. Most patients, if colon cancer is detected early, the five-year survival rate is around 90%. As with any problem, I think there are a number of issues at play here. One, I think it's the reluctance to get screened, and just in terms of the procedure, the colonoscopy itself. We do see, this all starts, of course, with the primary care physician. So when you go see your doctor, they need to, one, recommend that you get screened, and then folks need to follow up with that recommendation. As with any type of health issue, there are always issues to access to care. Which is why I think the work we do here at UI Health is so important. We have a number of federally funded healthcare facilities that we work with throughout the city to make sure that we can get everyone has access to appropriate screening for colon cancer.
Chadwick Boseman, is this the cancer that ultimately causes death?
Yes, it is. Yes.
So we see someone and who we knew was young, who we knew was vibrant, mm-hmm. who we knew was all these things. And this is a prime example. I don't know anything about his situation other than what we just talked about. But it would seem that if there are more people like that we know of who've been harmed by this, these numbers began, at least the numbers of folks who are starting to get screened, should begin to improve because we can see right away and right there what's happening. Doc, when we think about just what's happening in the African-American community and as it relates to cancer, and certainly today we're talking about colon colorectal cancer, what do the stats and figures show? Are we at all getting better in terms of getting the test and getting screened and not dying or at least living longer with these things than before? What do the statistics tell us?
Yeah, so, you're right at first about Chadwick Boseman. It definitely raises awareness to the issue. Now, with all cancers, we do see a higher mortality rate in general amongst Black folks compared to white folks. But we have made some progress over the past few death decades. We noticed, particularly in Black men and women, we noticed a reduction in death due to cancer from 1991 to 2022. It's declined by 49% in men and 33% in women. So we're seeing an improvement. Some of this is due to lifestyle changes, a decrease in smoking, but I also think some of it is due to increased awareness and screening. And when it comes to colon cancer, that's really the take-home message, is that this is a very, very treatable disease. The vast majority of our patients who we were able to detect early were able to treat effectively and prolong their lives.
In a typical situation, it seems that you get a colonoscopy, and these don't occur again generally for 10 years or so if they're seen to be clean. If there's some reason that you have within the family or something that's seen, then it happens more frequently. It's invasive simply because of the area of the body that you've got to check. But this becomes, it's not uncomfortable as it's done, other than getting ready for a colonoscopy, which requires you to clean out your colon. But other than that, is there anything else that people are or is discomforting with really having this diagnosis done?
Sure. So, the conversation I had with patients is, first, I think you're right. The most uncomfortable part of the exam is the bowel preparation before the procedure. And it's not even so much that it's uncomfortable. It's just a little more inconvenient. You do have to drink some sort of solution to clean out your intestines. So that means that you're making multiple trips to the bathroom. We generally do a clear liquid diet the day before the procedure. So when I see more patients the morning of the procedure, I always ask them, how was your bowel prep? And they usually say something along the lines of, "Was it as good as it could be?" And I tell them that was likely the worst part of this whole process. During the procedure, you are sedated. If you choose to do a light sedation, then you may feel like a little bit of gas pain, but that's really about it. With any procedure, there are risks. The risks for colonoscopy are extremely infrequent, very, very rare. So it's a safe test. And as you mentioned, if it's normal or you see very small, low-risk polyps, then you don't need another colonoscopy for 10 years. So it's done. You can, you have peace of mind. You're keeping up to date with your health, and you're taking a big step to preventing a common cancer.
This is really important information. I'm always happy to have these conversations. We're talking with Dr. Gerald Gant. He is the Associate Professor of Surgery, Chief Division of Colon and Rectal surgery at the University of Illinois Chicago, UI Health, talking about colon cancer, colonoscopies. I'm going to share my story with you, which I think you will appreciate.
This is Colorectal Awareness Month, and we are certainly making you aware. Dr. Gann, I have to tell you, the first time that I had a colonoscopy, and just to be real clear, you take this this liquid that helps to clean out your system, sends you to the bathroom quite a bit as you're drinking this stuff, and it's quite a bit to drink just to clear out your system to make sure they can get a good look at your colon the next day. And Dr. Gant, not knowing any better, and no one told me like we're telling everyone today, I knew I needed to have one all set up, put together the stuff, drink all this stuff. And then I left and I went to a Bulls game. And these things send you to the bathroom pretty frequently. So needless to say, I'm at the United Center, and we had this ritual of walking around at halftime. And we're kind of walking around at halftime, and I'm just feeling all this rumbling in my stomach so that I end up in a run to try to get a literal run to try to get to the bathroom before I have any more damage, and made it back home eventually without any issues, and all went well. But I would just recommend to folks, when you take this prep before your colonoscopy, going to a Bulls game is not the best idea. Talk to us, if you would. It seems that the mortality rates through cancer have dropped, but the burden seems to have shifted more from men to women. Can you talk about why that is and why more younger people are now being diagnosed than before?
0.6 from male to female, meaning that men were 60% more likely to be diagnosed with cancer compared to women in the early 1990s. Now that ratio is much closer to 1, meaning that the incidence rate is about the same between men and women. And, you know, we don't know for sure, but I think that a lot of this is due to changes in lifestyle, and most importantly, a decrease in smoking. You know, we're talking about colon cancer, but lung cancer is one of the most common cancers. And over the past, you know, few decades, there's been an aggressive campaign to reduce smoking. And especially in the past, where men may have been engaged in more more tobacco use, I think that decrease has contributed to less cancers in men. We are seeing an alarming number of cancers in younger people. This is something that you see in the press and the media. There's a lot of research ongoing to try to figure out why that is. There are theories, that perhaps it's related to diet and interaction between the foods that we eat and the bacteria that lives within our guts as it pertains to colorectal cancer. There are some other factors that we know play a role. You know, obesity is a risk factor for colon cancer. So in general, it is important to try to live what most would consider a healthy lifestyle. You know, managing weight, eating a diet high in fiber, plenty of fruits and vegetables, limiting your intake of red meat. These are all things that can help lower your risk of developing colorectal cancer.
I'll tell you, it seemed to me, and I stopped eating red meat back in 1991, and there was actually absolutely no scientific study at all, but it felt like in that moment I was noticing more incidents of men having colon cancer, colon issues. I don't know what was happening then, don't know why, but I gave up pretty much cold turkey, red meat, and pork, although it took me a year to give up bacon, and haven't gone back really since then. Feel pretty good about all things and all things that have happened since, but I do notice, Doc, and I will occasionally go to a cigar bar. There are a whole lot of brothers in these cigar bars. There are a whole lot of us who are still enjoying whatever that is. But it seems that within all the cancers that we talk about, smoking seems to come up every single time.
Yes, it's true. I mean, I think that, I think that there is a difference if, obviously, any habit that you have that's considered an unhealthy habit, it makes a difference, you know, how long you've been doing it for and the frequency at which you do it. So, you know, I think, you know, I view my job as in telling people the information, the data that we know in terms of what things, lifestyle habits can increase your risk for developing different types of cancer. But then also it's up to the individual to decide, you know, what do you want to give up and what don't you want to give up? You know, people have to make decisions, you know, for themselves and you know, what type of life they want to live. So, you know, from a medical perspective, you know, is going to a cigar bar once a month a healthy habit? No. But, you know, if that's something that, you know, you feel like you should do, then I think that that's a decision that you have to make. You know, it's a little bit of a line between wearing the hat of a physician and then being in the real world, right? I think that, you know, everyone has to decide, you know, where they're going to be on that kind of spectrum for themselves.
Well, knowledge is power, and you're giving the knowledge, and folks will all make the decisions that we make, recognizing what those decisions, what the impact of those will be. Love the camaraderie, but you don't necessarily have to smoke a cigar just because you're there. There are a lot of other things that can be done. When we think about colorectal cancer, is there, other than genetics, is there anything else that actually causes it? Are there things that we can do that just keeps us healthy?
Sure. Yeah. So yeah, genetics plays a big role. So certainly if you have a family, we didn't touch on this, but if you have a family history of colorectal cancer, then, you know, you should to discuss with your physician, but you, in all likelihood, you may need to be screened earlier. So the rule is that if you have a first degree relative, so that's a mother, father, sibling, who developed colorectal cancer, then you should get your colonoscopy 10 years prior to that, to the age at which that relative was diagnosed. So if your mom developed colorectal cancer at age 50, then you should get a colonoscopy at age 40. So genetics plays a role for sure. Besides that, we know that there are other risk factors for developing colon cancer. We mentioned, you know, diet high in saturated fats and red meat. Smoking is associated with colorectal cancer, obesity as well. Some things can be protective, eating a high fiber diet. So it's whole grains, fruits, vegetables. And the thing is, you know, for overall health, that's very important. For overall colon health, that's very important. There's a lot of other, you know, non-cancerous colon problems, things like diverticulosis, hemorrhoids, that are associated with eating a low fiber diet. So we do want people to eat a lot of fiber and, you know, do things to help manage their weight, which can decrease the risk for developing colorectal cancer.
So know your family's history is really important. Get early diagnosis. Eat smart. Avoid the things that you can't avoid. Make smart choices. And let's live long and be productive. Dr. Gann, thank you so much for joining us this morning and sharing this important information.
My pleasure.